right, it is Tuesday, the 4th of June, and good to have you here. Donald Trump is in the UK. Had an amazing day, it looked like to me, from what I was watching yesterday. And I remarked here earlier about how incredible is the Queen. After all, she just turned 93. She's on her way to 94. And she conducts herself as a much younger person. She was elegant and eloquent and delivering remarks and just did a fabulous job. And just I'm actually amazed. I'm not a royal watcher. I'm not terribly interested in that sort of thing as a general rule. But in this case, I was fascinated by her as an individual and doing what she's doing. Joining me now from the heart of it all, Humphrey Hawksley is a journalist and an author who has been a foreign correspondent for the BBC for a number of years and a contributor to this program for a while now. And he's right there, not too far from Trafalgar Square, not too far from Downing Street, right in the middle of it all in London. Hawksley, Humphrey, welcome back to the program.
It's good to be with you, Steve, on this day particularly, or these 3 days particularly.
Yes. Do tell me. I mean, I found it fascinating just to watch the Queen last night make a toast to the relationship between the UK and the United States. And I was actually incredibly impressed.
Well, I mean, the Queen has been meeting American presidents since Eisenhower. So she knows this. She can do it off pat, and she's completely professional about the way she does it. And she understands her responsibility. Now, President Trump is a hugely divisive figure here, just as he is in the U.S. And as all of those things were going on yesterday, and as they're continuing on a political level today, there are demonstrations throughout the country, and particularly in Trafalgar Square, which is essentially the heart of London, where they have huge blimps characterizing Trump as a baby. They have one even of him sitting on a toilet and tweeting, these are blow-up dolls.
Sure.
And more importantly, I think, on a thing, Steve, is that the leader of the opposition, the man who could very soon be the British Prime Minister, is attending not the state banquet, not the meetings in Downing Street or with Trump, but attending a rally saying that President Trump shouldn't even be here.
That being Jeremy Corbyn, of course.
That is the extent to which, that's Jeremy Corbyn. Yes, is doing that, and who's sort of seen as a far left figure here. The time that I can remember similar divisiveness is when during the Iraq War, when George W. Bush was in office, but that was on a political decision by George W. Bush. This is against the man, against the personality of Donald Trump.
Sure. I think it's safe to say that Americans, when it comes to protesters in the UK, we don't really care. We elected the president. I believe that he'd be elected again today. And I understand the protest, but the fact of the matter is what amuses me, whether it's the Trump as a child blimp that's out there, it's the children that can't accept the outcome of the 2016 election that keep having these hissy fits, these tantrums, acting like children, and then trying to say it's the president that acts like a child. Fair enough. But how important are these meetings? Because I don't believe Jeremy Corbyn will become prime minister. Maybe that's an outside shot. But I think it's much more likely you'll see somebody take the mantle from Theresa May directly. Don't you believe that to be true?
Yes. I mean, what will happen is that by the end of this month, there will be a new British prime minister. And the favorite for that is Boris Johnson, the former foreign secretary, who President Trump actually endorsed at the weekend in a couple of newspaper interviews before he came over, saying that he would make a brilliant leader. There are 13 people, Steve, in the race for this from the same party. But having said that, the key issue that the negotiations going on right at this minute, the business negotiations, the talks with Theresa May that have just started here in London, they are about what Britain's role will be and what the relationship will be, particularly with trade, after Brexit.
Well, help
after
me with
Britain
this.
Britain leaves the European Union.
Help me with this. Humphrey Hawksley here,
say
journalist.
Again?
And I want you to answer a question for me here, so I fill in a blank for me, if you will, Humphrey. And that is, my understanding was that Theresa May leaves Friday, leaves at the end of this week. And then you say at the end of the month, 2 weeks, 3 weeks hence, there will be a new prime minister in the UK. What happens in that interim period for 2 or 2.5 weeks?
Theresa May technically continues as a sort of caretaker. will continue on, although she's left office as the leader of the party. And then there will be an internal party election and choosing of a new prime minister that should be decided by June the 20th. So by the end of this month, as I say, because that timetable might slip, by the end of this month, there will be a new prime minister in Downing Street. That prime minister will come from the Conservative Party, and it's likely to be what we call towards the right. And the favourite is Boris Johnson, the former foreign secretary, who has a relationship already with Donald Trump.
Is there a dark horse in the race? I mean, this is obviously critical as the Brexit continues to come now again. What is the out date is now Halloween. October 31st is the date for the UK to exit. Halloween, what a perfect occasion for that to occur. But that's obviously been part of Theresa May's problem. Are there other candidates that you think are possibly in the running, maybe as dark horse candidates, Humphrey, that could surprise us and assume that role as prime minister?
Talking to MPs and cabinet ministers lately, I don't think so at the moment. There is one outsider, a man called Rory Stewart, who's just become the international development, the aid minister, as it were. And he's got a slightly different message to Boris Johnson. He says that we must get a deal with the European Union. We must continue with a good relationship with the European Union. And we must unite Britain so that it doesn't remain as divisive as it is at the moment. That would be on the opposite side, as it were, sure, to what Boris Johnson wants to do. And that is that he would like us to cut out on October the 31st, whether we have an arrangement or deal with the European Union. And then he would head straight over to Washington and cut a trade deal with the United States.
I think that's probably a very likely thing, yes. Let me ask you this. We've got about a minute and a half left here, and I want to get to this one last question. What about Nigel Farage? Where does he fit in the scheme of things post-Theresa May, possibly under Boris Johnson? Where does Nigel Farage fit in this whole picture?
Technically nowhere. He's a member of the European Parliament, but once we leave Europe, he will have no position. Having said that, he's managed to get probably the fastest growing, biggest, most powerful, as far as getting votes go, party in less than 2 months. And now Britain is essentially divided between Brexit or no Brexit. Nigel Farage is on one side saying we need to leave Europe. And the other big party that's come up from the ashes, as it were, are the Liberal Democrats that say we need to remain in Europe. So those old left-right things have gone, Steve, and it's Europe or no Europe, Nigel Farage's Brexit party on one side and the Liberal Democrats on the other. Nigel Farage he is a huge force.
Sure.
But technically, he has no political position at all, no cabinet ranking.
Right. Nothing
he doesn't
official.
Sit in the Houses of Parliament.
Humphrey, great insight and greatly appreciate your front row description of what's going on there. Humphrey Hawksley, a journalist, author, foreign correspondent for the BBC and a regular contributor to this program now. Humphrey, I greatly appreciate it. Terrific work as always. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Heading over there now.
There you go. We'll be right back on the Steve Gerber Show.
You've seen the headlines. Water purity has never been more important than it is today. It's time to give yourself and your family the best water you can. Wolverine Water is Michigan's premier water treatment company and has been since 1947. Wolverine serves customers statewide, and they're ready to test your water for free. With everything you've heard, you need peace of mind. You need Wolverine Water in your free water test. Go to SteveGruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo. That's SteveGruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo.
We're here with Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital. Dr. McCursey, Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. What's offered there?
We have a full array of imaging services at the health center. We have MRI, CT, 3D digital mammography, ultrasound, digital x-ray, and bone density.
What are the advantages for the patients who go there?
Our patients love the convenient location. They also love the easy in-and-out parking. And they also love the ability to schedule examinations after hours, both on the evenings and the weekends.
How can people learn more about Sparrow's radiology services?
To learn more, they can go to sparrow.org/radiology-services.
That's sparrow.org/radiology-services. We've been speaking to Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital, about how Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. Choose wisely. Choose Sparrow.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the